We like to define ourselves as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this gospel passage, we are given a clear vision of what a disciple of the Lord should be. It shows us the Lord who leaves Samaria to go up to Jerusalem. He leaves the mountain of the Transfiguration, where Peter, James, and John had the happy experience of Jesus' glories, the mountain at the top of which all mothers want to see their son. He leaves that mountain to reach the mountain of the crucifixion, the one at the foot of which will stand almost alone Mary, mother of Jesus and our mother. Mary, there to receive the pierced body of her son. The horizon of Jesus' journey is therefore this culminating and final point of the cross. Thus, the disciple is the one who is aware that a life following Christ cannot be without the cross. The cross, the suffering, the anguish are part of the way to cross on this earth for the kingdom. This is the first vision of what it means to follow Christ. First vision. The second aspect of discipleship is that he's just a messenger who precedes his master. Jesus tells the gospel, sends messengers ahead of him. It's word emphasizing it. The envoys are simple messengers who have the sole mission of preparing everything for the master, for Christ. God does not need man to work in the hearts, but he wanted to use man to prepare his path, to make the path straight, to fill his ravines. He wanted to use them to irrigate deserts, to sweep through hearts and memories. He also wanted to use them on Palm Day to detach the donkey, which was to serve as his throne. The disciple, therefore, is the one who must avoid two traps. First, the trap that consists of taking himself for the message. This is an insidious temptation for few priests. Take oneself as the message. It's as if the nightlight of the tabernacle thought it was the Blessed Sacrament. The second trap is to imagine that it is the messengers who do the work. When we are in the service of God, when we work for God, we let God work inside us. It's not our work. It's the work of the Lord through his Spirit. In this sense, when the Pharisees ask Jesus, "What must we do to work on the works of God?" He replies, "God's work is that you believe in him whom he sent." The disciple is therefore the one who recognizes that he must remain humble while knowing that he is of real use. He facilitates or spoils everything. In the gospel, we see that James and John envision a surgical strike on the Samaritan village that had badly received Christ's messengers. But Jesus categorically opposes it. Thus, in the face of the inhospitable Samaritans, we are invited to understand that the servant of God is not sent to judge men, is not sent to condemn the men, but to preach the gospel by words and by deeds. Preach, not judge. This is what Christ did on his first advent. We must therefore be careful to always erase ourselves from the message we deliver wherever we are, wherever we testify. It's not about seeking prestige. It's about conveying a message which is not ours. Finally, the third aspect of the one who claims to be a disciple is to be a true follower every day. Every day. Not to be mistaken about our way of wanting to take the road with Christ. In this gospel, two men propose themselves. Two men who are supposed to be of goodwill. The first says, "I will follow you wherever you go." And the second, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me go first, say goodbye to my family." The first does not know what he is asking for. "I will follow you wherever you go." Meaning, he seeks a place of life. But Jesus designates him the source of life. He thinks he will write one more line in his resume with Jesus. But Jesus points the cross to him as a stepping stone to heaven. And for the second, it is worse. He dared a bird. "I will follow you, but let me first go back to my family and say bye-bye." There is no but possible in the answer we give to God. We do not commit ourselves under the condition that everything works well. So, two spontaneous applications, two failures. But there is a third man. He did not offer himself, but Jesus spotted him. "Follow me," he tells him. Jesus said, "Just follow me." No introduction. No please. No "let us study your future, young man." No "I am going to make you happy." Just follow me. A verb with an imperative that slams like a whip. Follow me. Every one of us today, these words are for him or for her. "Follow me," he tells us this evening. "Follow me and remain faithful. You disciple of Christ, remain faithful. Do not look back." Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." Sometimes the difficulties of the present moment can make you forget how far you have come with Christ and give you the nostalgia for your past life or a life without him. that you would imagine easier. You and I remember the experience of Moses and his people in the desert. The people complain about their present and are nostalgic for slavery in Egypt. So is our heart, exactly, when he suffers in the present moment, he flees back. So is our heart. So on this day, because we have put our hands on the plow, Christ invites us not to look back, but rather to go forward, to trust. For sure, as he has helped us on many other occasions, he will continue to help us today and tomorrow. For he is there with us. He watches over everyone. He lives with us today, tomorrow, and forever and ever. Amen.